11 verses. I put all my hope in the Lord. He leaned down to me. He listened to my cry for help. He lifted me out of the pit of death, out of the mud and filth, and set my feet on solid rock. He steadied my legs. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many people will learn of this and be amazed. They will trust the Lord. Those who put their trust in the Lord, who pay no attention to the proud, or to those who follow lies, are truly happy. You, Lord my God, you've done so many things. Your wonderful deeds and your plans for us, no one can compare with you. If I were to proclaim and talk about all of them, they would be too numerous to count. You don't relish sacrifices or offerings. You don't require entirely burned offerings or compensation offerings. You have given me ears. So I said, here I come. I'm inscribed in the written scroll. I want to do your will, my God. Your instruction is deep within me. I've told the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. I didn't hold anything back. As you well know, Lord, I didn't keep your righteousness only to myself. I declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I didn't hide your loyal love and trustworthiness from the great assembly. So now you, Lord, don't hold back any of your compassion from me. Let your loyal love and faithfulness always protect me. Let's pray together. God, we are glad to both sing the sense of that song and then to hear the songwriter who inspired that modern writer. And so we pray that we would be prepared to declare your loyal faithfulness, your love. And that in our experience of that, we would have stories to tell about the way in which you care for us. And through that, have a desire to care those around us. So God, we pray you'd kind of keep that melody on our hearts today. You'd keep those words of the songs in Scripture near to us, and that we would always be appealing to your loyal faithfulness, your love toward us in Jesus. And may that be the source and the motivation, the inspiration to talk about your goodness to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Let your mercy rise, let your hope resound, let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free, let your name bring peace, heaven come in the here and now. Shelter where the broken find their place. Wanna be a refuge for the weak. Wanna be a light for the world to see. Wanna be a love that breaks the walls and fills the streets. All are welcome as we are, for our God is near every heart. Let your mercy rise. Let your hope breeze out, let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free, let your name bring peace, heaven come in the here and now. Wanna be a door that's open wide, wanna see compassion come alive, wanna carry truth that shines a beacon in the night. Wanna see a city filled with hope. We wanna bring peace to the troubled soul. We wanna tell a story of a God that they can know. All are welcome as we are, for our God is near every heart. Let your mercy rise, let your your grace run free, let your name bring peace.
Let's sing this chorus one more time.
Let your mercy rise. Let your hope resound. Let your love in our hearts be found. Let your grace run free. Let your name bring peace. Heaven come in the here and now.
Good morning. All right. Let's sing together a wonderful hymn. We all know, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how that there be no higher name, Jesus, Son of God. You lay down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice, Jesus, Son of God. You are Jesus, Son of God.
Love like this, the world has never known. altar of our praise. Let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God.
Sing me on the altar.
On the altar of our praise, let there be no higher name. Jesus, Son of God, you laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. Jesus, Son of God, you are Jesus, Son of God. Be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. Be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no power that can come against your love. The cross was enough. The cross was enough. Be lifted higher than all you've overcome. Your name be louder than any other song. There is no
come to our time of repentance and confession and self kind of evaluation of maybe this last week, I'd like to do something that we do on a fairly regular occasion, and that is read from Galatians chapter 5. And as I read these, what we call the fruits of the Spirit are these characteristics that Jesus had, perfect, and that through the Spirit, God is encouraging and pushing us to indwell in our own lives as well. We can all be honest and say that we don't have these perfected. And if you say you do, then man, I don't even know when you're coming. You're good to go, I guess. Or there needs to be honesty on here, and then we'll restart. See, it'll be good. But all these things that we struggle with, but maybe there are some that, man, this week you can say, whew, I really struggled with this week. And so that gives us the time to just share with through prayer with our Father, and one, ask and understand the forgiveness of God is real, and also the grace of God to pick us up and say, keep going, keep pushing towards that. And so I'd ask you just to close your eyes, and as I read this passage of Scripture, maybe one or two of the fruits of the Spirit, as I read them, kind of jumps out. Maybe the Spirit says, you know, whoa, yeah, that one, you know, you've really struggled with this week. Then spend some time in prayer and ask the Father that the Spirit would encourage you this week to push to become a little more of these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, Good goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we say we live by the Spirit, may we also walk by the Spirit. Father, we come this morning hopefully being honest and transparent and being real with who we are and not trying to act like we're someone that we are not. But that we are all trying to follow you, and a lot of times we mess up. But as the song says, your forgiveness is overwhelming. Your grace is amazing. And so we ask for a moment that we can relish in the reality of your love and forgiveness for us. And that through your grace, God, your Spirit would push us to become more like the person that you intended for us to become, a person that is slowly, day after day, week after week, year after year, slowly but becoming that type of person. We know that it doesn't happen instantaneous, but that it takes discipline, that it takes your Spirit, and it takes our effort for you to make us who you intended for us to be. And so we pray that we would just do that, that our hearts would be set on that, set on becoming the person you want us to become. One reason, because so that we can truly experience life and life abundant, but two, so that those in this world who are suffering and who so need you as their Savior and King would really get the true picture of who you are through our life. May we slowly but surely become those who you intended us to become. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Many of us have sung a version of this song since we were little. This morning I asked that it wouldn't be just a song, but it'd be the cry of your heart. So I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to tell you that you have the freedom to do whatever you feel led to do this morning. You want to stand before your Savior, before your Lord, and say today, this morning, just in prayer, new and afresh, I want to say, I have decided to follow you. No matter what, I will follow. If you have some things you need to do it. You want to talk to God for a little while, you sit and do it. If you just want to think about the goodness of Him, His grace, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness, and you just want to ponder and think about that, spend some time with Him, and you do that. But you do what you feel led this morning. Let's not let this be a song. Let's let this be a time that we spend with Him, standing in awe of Him, and maybe if God leads us to say a fresh and new today, will follow you. This is my heart cry, the none go with me, the cross before me, the world behind me. This is my heart cry, the none go with me, the cross.
cross before me, the world behind me.
Giving us life, giving us life, and giving us a chance to glorify you with it, to live in a way that shows you to a world in need. I pray that that would be what we would be about, and this song would be the cry of our hearts, God, and the cry of our life, the testimony of each and every person in this place today who said, I have decided to follow Jesus, God. I pray that we would be held up accountable by each other and loved and do it together as a community, not alone. Defeat, but God, together in victory. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the resurrection, God. We thank you for our brother this morning. I pray that you hide him behind the cross. Give us a message from you. And may our hearts together, God, as one, walk out of this place singing this chorus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I have to be honest. I think it's always my first confession, like right there. Like, I have to be honest. I guess it's when you preach, you got to be honest. The message might be a little shorter than the norm, because when Todd asked me to preach, I was kind of just assuming that he probably wouldn't be here. So I had a lot of jokes. They might have been, but I figured that'd just kind of be awkward since he's here. So I won't share my funny jokes against Todd. So, no, just kidding. Let's turn to John chapter 1, and starting in verse 29. John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. We're going to talk about two words that begin with E. Now, if that's not a sermon title, I don't know what is. Two words that begin with E. Okay, starting in verse 29 here. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." I started my little business that I have in 2007. So this isn't like I'm not advertising for my business, I promise. I want to share a story. So this business started in 2007. And what I do is I just kind of sell stuff that your companies want their logos on. And so through doing that, I kind of got in with this group, this what we call a buying group. So supposedly, at least they told me this, to, so that I could give them some money. Hey, we can buy stuff cheaper than most people, so you can make a little more. Okay, great. So I got into this buying group. So I could get in this buying group, and now also we'll give you all these catalogs that has all of our all these products. And you can also pay for this website. I'm like, no, I'm not interested in paying any more money for a website. I'll just take, you know, give me all these free catalogs. And so there we go. We started this business. And so, but it was for me, what I had to do, because I was completely new to this industry, I had to just start studying all these catalogs and finding out what all was available that I could offer to my customers. And it just took hours to study. And then when someone would come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm looking for this," then I would have to go through and look at all these catalogs again and figure out where I can get what and what price I can get it. And so it, every week, it just took hours of my week trying to research and trying to find these things out through looking at all these catalogs. One day, a few years back, I was talking to another person in this industry, and they said, "Oh, yeah, you know, we use such and such website." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, there's this website out there that, you know, once you hear what a customer needs, you just type it in, and this website shoots you every manufacturer that makes what you're looking for, and it ranges it from the cheapest to expensive." I'm like, "Shut up."
They're like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, this isn't possible. I'm like, no. So they keep sharing about it, and I'm still just like, yeah, whatever. This can't be real. And so they're like, well, I guess you got to try it. So I call the place who has the website, and I'm like, well, I need to try it first. And so they send me the little link to it all, and man, I'm searching this, and this thing is amazing. I mean, you can type in 12 purple and gold pencils with Happy Birthday Lucy engraved on it, and boom, we get all these options of what we can offer. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is awesome. Now, here's the funny thing. This website was the website that was offered to me at first. And I was like, I'm good. But not this thing, this search engine, has saved me hours each week of me doing business that I can spend now trying to build more customers or spending time with my customers. It was something that was revolutionary for me. Something that happened to me that completely changed the way that I see things now, the way that I operate. All because of this one thing. And this is one thing that I would call an epiphany for me. This was an epiphany for me. This was an epiphany maybe by our friend Webster. His maybe definition is something to the effect of a revelation of something that changes the way that you think, something new that changes the way that you think. So for me, this website, it wasn't new. It wasn't just built when I came across it. It was just new to me. I just found out. I just decided to do this. It was new for me. And so we have this today is what we call the second Sunday of Epiphany in our church calendar. And we all know, as I said, Epiphany, you know, what Epiphany is. And so maybe we have to look at this passage of Scripture and say, okay, where's this? Why do they call this the Epiphany? What Epiphany are we finding ourselves here in this passage of Scripture? And I think it seems to fairly be easy to see, but I think there might be a couple nuances there as well. So what we have here in John, as we just read, we have John sharing with his disciples. So he's got a group of people that are following him, that they must have liked what he said. That must have been some type of epiphany for them. The way he was talking about God and what God had to offer seemed to be life-changing. So they decided, hey, I'm going to follow you. So they're following him. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about this person that ranked way before he did, this person that he's not even worthy of tying his sandals, this person that would come and become the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. All of this big talk that he was talking about on a regular occasion with them, and as he's talking, he sees Jesus. And he says to his disciples, you know this person that I've been talking about over and over that is baptizing with the Holy Spirit? That's him. That's the real deal. And so you have this eye-opening of the disciples. Whoa, hang on. All this talk that we've been excited about, that we start following you because of this one thing, that's him? And now you gotta picture this. You got to think it's a little rough on John. So the disciples are like, well, hang on. So that's the one you're talking about. Yeah, that's him. Okay, see you. We're out of here. And he'd be like, hey, wait, guys. What about me? You were following me. You're hanging out with me. Now you leave me. And they're like, but you told us all these great things that this is the guy that's coming over to save us, to save the sin of the world. That's him, right? Yeah. Okay, we got to go. And so it's like, stinker. Now I don't got any disciples here. But I would hope he would understand what's going on here. So then you have the disciples. You have them who left, and they go. And this to me, almost, it's probably not, but that tells you how simple-minded I am. I see this as like a comedy, okay? So you have these two guys, and I can see them like picturing you if you're watching a television. I can see these two disciples, and they're like kind of just slowly kind of following Jesus, like, where's he going and all this? And finally, Jesus notices them, and they're like, what are you looking for? And they're just like, oh. Where are you staying? And I can see the person that said that be like, out of all the questions, I asked him, where are you staying tonight? And I can see the other guy saying, seriously, dude? You just said that to this guy? You said, where's he staying? That's the question? You know, I see this thing. That does, yeah, I'm sorry. That my mind is a little crazy sometimes. So you see this, and you have them there. And so then his response is what I think is an epiphany for all of us. So his response isn't, well, I'm staying at, you know, Jack's house. See you later. And goes on. But he says, come with me. Come and see. And so that, I still don't think he's not saying, come and see. I'll show you where I'm living and now you staying and now you need to go. I showed you. See you. No. I believe that this is Jesus offering an invitation to a lifetime of epiphanies. A lifetime of these over and over seeing and listening and hanging out with Jesus, and always through doing this, becoming aware of these new realities that Jesus is bringing to us. And here's what I think is important for us to understand with this passage, is that I believe that epiphanies through Jesus comes with us being in a relationship with Him. With us actually, not just, hey, how's it going? And you hear something, you're good to go. No, the epiphany, the life-changing happens when you actually really get in a relationship with Jesus. When you start really deepening your relationship, investing time and spending time with that, that's when it happens, not just out of the blue. But when you start really doing that, and I have, it's always probably weird for me, being the person that I am here at this church, this person that, while I would definitely not say I am in charge of any of the community ministries that I do here, I'm just the spokesperson and y'all are the ones that do it. But so as I'm in charge of this, putting this together, putting these things that we do for our community, I must say for sure 100% that just because you do those things does not mean you have a relationship with Jesus. Just because you come and you know you might know a lot of Scripture does not mean you have a relationship with Jesus. I know plenty of people who know a lot of Scripture, and by golly, from the way that they live and their arrogance and their pride and their rudeness and things, they just did that just to know stuff. Just to say, look at me, I know a lot. And you can come here. You can come here and I can come here every week. That doesn't mean that I have a relationship with Jesus. Because a relationship is a relationship of realizing that I cannot become the person that I was intended to become by myself. That is not possible. And I have to dive and deepen this relationship as a relationship of service, as a relationship of surrender. It's a relationship of dying to self. It's a relationship of all of these things that happens in every relationship if it's healthy. Those are the things that occur. And it's the same with a relationship with God. It's not just, hey, I go and I help and I'm good to go. Or, hey, I go to this thing so I'm good to go. That's just not how a relationship works. It demands more from you. Now, here's the thing that I want to say about that. While I do believe that you can go and you can go to church all your life and not have a relationship with God, I do believe you can go and do acts of service without having a relationship with God. I believe that's possible. However, I believe that if we are serious about having a relationship with God, that means we are serious about figuring out what's important at the heart of God. And when we realize that, if we truly are having in a relationship with God, the thing that's natural to us would all of a sudden, if these things are important to God, then these things become important to us. That's what a relationship is. If I know that my wife has these important things about her and I want to have a fruitful, healthy relationship with her, I will learn to like those things. And sooner or later, as I'm thinking, well, I don't really like it, but I'm just going to do it. Sooner or later, with that love that's coming from both of us, it will transform us into where I will become liking those things. That's just how it works. Now, here's the thing. So we come here and we say that it's about a relationship. And I truly, truly believe that. And I hope anyone who has a different picture of that, I would love to chit-chat with you. I think it is about that. Okay? We see that in Scripture over and over again. It's about this ongoing relationship. So we have these people say, okay, how does that happen? Because what? I have a relationship with Carrie, but I can see Carrie. So that's where it gets tough. That's where it demands a little faith. But I would say that the same way to develop a relationship with my wife is very similar on developing a relationship with God in terms of this. It takes time. It demands effort on our part. So we can sit here and we can say, well, you know, relationship, you know, I tried that. I tried to figure out God 1 week. It just didn't work out for me. So I gave up. I've been there before too. And it is that that's just not how it works. Relationships don't work that way. And so if you say, I don't know, I don't believe that how you can build a relationship, I would say just try. Try and don't just try for a little while. It's an ongoing, lifelong journey. And I would say this, I bet each one of us knows someone that we would say, man, they really seem to show a life that is really in a relationship with God. Go find them. Go talk to them about how that relationship developed. See what they did. Whether it was spending time just in silence each day and figuring out how this works and figuring out spending time in Scripture and figuring out how God wants us to be through the Son Jesus and figuring out what the heart of God is through studying Scripture or figuring out ways that they felt service-oriented and they knew that God wanted us to be here and so they were there. There's so many ways, just like there's so many ways to build and develop a relationship with each other, there's so many different ways to build and develop a relationship with God. So if maybe one thing worked, you're like, man, I tried reading that Scripture and, man, I got to Leviticus and I was out. You know, I understand that, you know, but I think that's where the word of life comes from. But there's use that and there's other things, too, that we can do to develop this relationship that I'm talking about. And I know it sounds so weird, you know, kind of in us, but that's just the reality that it is really a relationship. And it's one of those things where, out of faith, you just got to say, just trust me. That if you start really trying to figure out the heart of God and try to really listen to see where He's leading you, it does change you. It does work. But you just have to have faith that it does. So that's this idea. So what we have here is then we have Andrew. Okay? We have Andrew who spends a little while with Jesus and realizes, this dude is legit. This dude is the Messiah. He's the one he says he is. He's giving me and saying things to me that is life-changing. So there's only one natural response that I know of. I got to go tell somebody. I got to go tell my brother Peter. Sorry, Simon. Peter, he wasn't Peter yet, sorry. I got to go tell him. Simon, come on, dude. You got to come check this guy out. So he comes. And the same with John. John is sharing this whole time about things that he has seen, whether it was through the Spirit telling him things that he has noticed that has been going on. And the only natural thing that happened was for him to then therefore tell other people. The other big E word, evangelism. Now, I'll tell you, we're scared of that word, okay? We're very scared of the word evangelism. When we say evangelism, my first picture that comes up are the old school evangelists that were all about shouting you into salvation. That was all about saying, if you're not 99.9% sure, you're 100% not sure. Okay, and that's what I remember when we say those things. And we think of evangelism, okay, well, I have to be this person who goes around to everybody and says, hey, if you died tonight, do you know where you would go? Those types of things. And those things kind of scare us and frighten us away from this word. But that is what is going on here with Andrew. He is noticing this difference, this change, this reality that is so eye-opening. And the only natural response for him is to go and share that with someone. And I think whatever the reason is for us to be afraid or scared of this word, whether we want to use the word evangelism or not, it is something that should be a part of who we are. It should be a part of who we are. It should be something that we are doing, that we are sharing with those around us, what God is doing through us and about us and for us. If God is doing anything in us, if we are having this relationship with God, because as I said, there's a lot of people out there that give a good show. But the actual relationship, they don't have anything to share. There's nothing going on. So here's what I want to do. Okay, you ready? I'm going to give it a little practice. Carrie Chambers is like, whoa, what are you? I want you to do it for a minute. Just for a moment. Find someone right next to you and just share with them why you like this church. What is something that you like about this church that might keep you coming, I guess. Ready? Go. Yay! See, that wasn't that hard, was it? Now, obviously, if you're a guest, hopefully someone shared with you about that. And maybe you're thinking, maybe you've come here a long time and you're like, I don't got anything to say. This church, I'm out of, okay, sorry.
Sorry about that. That hurts.
So, I want to say this is at the heart, evangelism is noticing what God is doing in our lives. Sharing that with others. That's what it is. Because guess what? There are people out there. I think there's not as many nowadays as people out there that says, the only thing I want, I can sit here and I can tell you, try to prove to you the existence of God. Try to prove to you that God is real. But I don't know if people are much interested in that anymore. Because what I can tell you is that it is real in me. Is that because of the epiphanies that keep coming in my life because of my relationship with God, as Todd talked about a couple of weeks ago, I'm a different person. Like I was once this, but now I'm this. I was once someone that was so focused on everything about me and all of this, and I hope slowly I'm becoming someone that maybe is more considerate, is more patient, is more Galatians chapter 5 we just talked about. That's what I've got. That's what I've got to offer. Is because of the relationship, of the ongoing practice of the presence of God, the ongoing maybe conversation. I know that sounds weird, but I promise you, give it a year or two and it won't sound that weird. I know that sounds weird too, a year or two. It's like, gosh. See, we talked about this in Sunday school, okay? That the other thing that is going on here in our world is that Nathan Streber can have anything and everything that I want with the push of a button, and I can get it within 2 days. Instantaneous. So shouldn't that just be how everything works? So if I want to be patient, I should just say I want to be patient. Wake up tomorrow and I'm patient. I can tell you, ask my wife. I don't. That doesn't work. That's not how Jesus, God, intended it to be. Because guess what? What does he say? He says, come see. Come hang out. This invitation of a relationship. You want to become a more patient person? Come have a relationship with me. Spend time figuring out the heart of me. And guess what? Maybe in 2 or 3 years you can look back and say, whoa, God really has changed me. Not going to happen tomorrow. But it is about this ongoing relationship. And guess what? All that does, when you really are diving in and really care about this relationship with God and figuring out ways to enhance this relationship with God, there's so many spiritual practices out there that help us do that, that I believe the Spirit has given someone to now everyone knows about, whether it's meditation and fasting and prayer and silence and all of these things, and scripture memory, all of these things that just build on this relationship that we can have with our God, with our Creator. As we do that, like I said, there's just these epiphanies that come. There's these things that become made aware to us that we weren't made aware of before, and because of it, it changes who we are. It changes how we live. And because of that, people are going to start seeing a difference. People are going to start noticing that there's something different here. And that's when we get to say, yes, there is. We get to share our story then. We get to share about the goodness and grace and forgiveness of God and the Spirit that pushes us to become more like the character of Jesus. We get to do that. And it is something that we want to do because this relationship, as it's building slowly and progressively throughout our life, it becomes so natural that we just want to share the good news with somebody. Because it is good news. The last thing I want to read is the idea, as we're talking here, these life-changing, life-altering epiphanies that I believe, if you follow Jesus, they have come across. They have come to you. Whatever it was about. These things that you think, wow, I didn't even think about that. But now it has changed me. And now we get the opportunity to share that with someone so that that person might be interested in having this relationship with God as well, because I just ask you just to close your eyes and think about these statements, because this is a portrayal, things that happen when we're in this relationship. And as I said, it's a relationship with God. What it does is it wakes us up to the idea that we can't be the person we were intended to be by ourselves. It's a relationship of surrender, of powerlessness, of living transparently, of service, of compassion. And when that relationship deepens, we start receiving the goodness and grace of God, and it makes us want to show people and tell people, because it is as we see kindness that we find a way to practice it ourselves. Think about that. It says we see kindness. When we see kindness, then we want to practice it ourselves. It is as we are prayed for that we start learning to remember to pray for others. It is as we experience forgiveness that we then go and try to find and reconcile those relationships that we have that need forgiveness. It is as we hear the call of justice that we start joining others to work for justice. It is as we, as Jesus says, come and see in all these different ways, just as the disciples did so long ago through the relationship they had with Jesus, that faith is born, grows, and is shared. We have this opportunity. You have this opportunity not just to do things, but to have a relationship that is life-changing, that is epiphany after epiphany of figuring out how to live in this world. And as you do that, the only thing that should come natural, that will come natural, is your desire to share with someone. That's how it works. And that's great.